Hallelujah. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. Really thought Kent was going to take my message when he got into Isaiah there. Those things happen. Before we get into the Word of God this morning, just have it on my heart to pray over the message, but also just to pray for this election that's coming up in our land, and pray that God's will be done, and can be a very exciting change, but I believe it'd be imperative to pray today for America. And I love this land. I love to be a citizen of the United States of America. I just want to see it return to some of the values that we were built on. How about you? Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for the election that is coming up, and we pray for the leaders that will be elected into office, and we pray most of all that your will be accomplished and done. We pray, Father, for every government leader, every person that's being elected on in November. We just ask that God's perfect people will be in position and empowerment for office, and we just want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We pray for this nation from the east to the west coast, from the north to the south, that America will return to morality and to biblical principles and, Lord, spiritual ideas that are generated from the Word of God. We thank you for our founding fathers, and I pray, Lord, for every government leader, every person that is elected, that it will be God's perfect man or woman into office. And Lord, your perfect will be accomplished on election day. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bible, go to Isaiah 6. If not, I might share with somebody. Perhaps we'll have something here on the screen in a second. But Isaiah chapter number 6. And the title of the message this morning is pretty simple. Revival, is it for today? I believe it is for today. I believe as we study all of the revivals that have ever occurred, and historically there have been great moves of God. But I believe if there's anything today that is going to change the environment spiritually, it's going to have to come through the church. And we are going to have to become people that are humble, that we are submissive, that we're yielded. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says that we have to have a hearing ear and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let's look at chapter 6. I'm just going to read a few verses here. And verse 1 says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord, and he was sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted with the train of his robe, filling the temple. Having note today, the presence of God fills this place.
Amen.
Seraphim stood above him, which having six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Wow.
Hallelujah.
The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm living among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongues. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. I'd love for that to be our prayer today. Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me to my neighbors. Send me to my job site, to the people I work with. Send me to my relatives. I always used to pray, God, just send me anywhere, but just don't send me to Africa. I'll go anywhere, but I don't want to be a missionary, and yet I've developed a heart for missions. May take a little bit of note-taking this morning to keep up with everything that I'm going to share with you in the time that we have. Started out by talking about number one on the outline in your bulletin and the sermon notes. America is in need of a great revival. How many say amen?
Amen.
We know that. And it behooves us to pray and to study. How can we get there? We've come so far away from where we were. And as we read in Revelation, we find so many different things that parallel in these churches that John wrote about. He wrote about a church that was dying. He wrote about a church that was filled with false doctrine. John wrote about a church that was lukewarm. John wrote about churches that had significant problems. And yet, as I look at all of these, false doctrine and dead and disloyal and lukewarm and one that lost their first love, I find those characteristics a common theme throughout churches today. And I thought, you know, there are so many things that pull us in different directions. But there's one simple thing that can move us back onto the track, and that's prayer. Because when people do pray, something happens. When people fast, something happens. At 27 Men here yesterday for men's breakfast, Gary Connor spoke. It was awesome.
Yes.
You should have been there. The presence of God filled that room yesterday. We had a wonderful time of church from 8 to 9 o'clock. And I believe that God wants to increase our spiritual productivity in the area of men. When men lead, things happen.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And how many know sometimes we as men, we like to pass it on to our spouse. You take care of the bills. You take care of the house. I heard one guy say one time, he was my neighbor, he said, "I take care of everything outside. She takes care of everything inside." I thought, how nice. It don't work that way at my house. No, we take care of things together.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
You ever pray sometimes, "Lord, I wish you'd just get on that lawnmower and mow the grass"? Hello? Marriage counseling after church. All right. Prayer will be the beginning point. Prayer will be the foundation. And if we pray together as a city, we pray together as a church, we pray together as a family, we pray together as husband and wife, and with our children, we are going to produce something. I have a daughter today that is singing before a Spanish church in Arkansas this morning. And I have a son downstairs who's 8, who's not quite as advanced, and he's doing puppets today for the first time. You say, "Well, that's important," because the process of my children maturing is an important process. And I go ahead and brag on them. Because God's doing something in their young lives. Let me just kind of commercialize a little pit stop here, folks. We've got to produce a younger generation, because we won't always be here, and pass that baton to these youth and young adults, people that are younger than we are. Somebody's got to come in and replenish. I'm just perturbed a little bit because I see the distractions by people today. They've got to go here, they've got to go there, and they're so pulled. What's going to get us back? And, you know, yeah, revival, is it for today? Of course it is. But significant things have happened that have changed us, and we're not really personified as what we once were. We've received things and we've accepted things. We see all the things that have changed us by the rate of divorce increasing, by the acceptance of abortion, by removing prayer out of schools in 1962, by the definition of marriage and the situation that we have today. And we just kind of have drifted into that, allowing and permitting increase in child abuse, the increase of children going home in torn homes and single parent families, and the rise and increase of suicides. I believe for every problem that I just pointed out, there's a solution. We have to bring people to Jesus. We have to bring people to the cross. Yes, America is in need of revival. We have to return to the foundation of God's Word. We have to dust it off and read it and know what God's Word has to say. We have to have the courage to stand for what is right when other people don't. Our schools need prayer. Our families need prayer. And we have to return to values that will be the foundation of what we once had. I want to give you something that I found very interesting. In 1940, listen to this, These were all the things that were negative that teachers and superintendents and principals had to deal with in schools. I don't know if anybody was around in 1940, but I wasn't. Well, in 1940, these were some of the top disciplinary problems in schools. Talking out of turn, chewing gum, making any kind of noise, running in the hallway, cutting in line. Those awful kids. Littering in the schools. Wearing the wrong stuff. The dress code was violated. Those were the infractions of 1940. Now let me tell you what the problems are today. They're a little bit heavier than that. Drug abuse, number one. Alcohol abuse, number two. I'm not talking about society. I'm talking about school. Pregnancy in school, number three. Number four, suicide. It's a high rate today. Rape, robbery, and assault. Wow. What a difference from 1940 to where we are now. That's a little heavier than just chewing gum and slapping Junior on the head. Amen? It's imperative that we pray. It's imperative that we seek God. It's imperative. Just take your car and roll around the parking lot in the school boundary lines and pray for the teachers and pray for the students because they need it. Pray that there will be something dynamic that will take place there. I have a friend of mine, and he remembers a revival that took place in a school, and kids were talking about God. They were allowing Bible studies in the school. They were challenged, and teachers were turning their attention to God. You see, it used to be when you're in trouble in school, you were in trouble at home. That's how it used to be. But something's changed. Authority is no longer respected. We have to get back to experiencing the reverence and the fear of God. Is it possible? Yeah, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Hallelujah. I got to take a quick hike over here to Judges because I was studying this in the last couple of days, and I just thought, God, if you can do this in the Old Testament, you can bring a revival to America. And it might as well be Grove, Oklahoma. Amen. Amen? Amen? It might as well be here. In fact, the Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. A community of 6,000 could experience a genuine revival today.
Amen.
All things are possible. Here's this weak, puny leader, Gideon, hiding behind a bush. Remember that story?
Yeah.
And God spoke to him and he said, hey, dude, that's not what he said, but modern day English, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon was like, not me. He was trembling. He really did have no idea, no clue, no nothing, no qualifications to be a mighty man. But God spoke to him and said, you're going to lead people out and you're going to be victorious and you guys are going to defeat the Midianites and I'm calling you out. Hallelujah. God calls some men out. Man of valor. I've labeled you as a man of valor. Now, over and over and over and over again, God had to keep reminding Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. And Gideon kept questioning God, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I need a sign. I need a sign. How many people today need signs? God, just speak loudly to me and then I'll know. And when I get up to the stoplight, if it turns green, I know it's the will of God that I get involved in Cornerstone Church. Just give me a sign. Put a writing on the back of the wall that says, be involved in the choir, and then I'll do it. Gideon kept asking and asking and asking repetitiously, Lord, I'm not this guy that you're talking about. And he says, yes, you are. You're a mighty man of valor. In fact, if you'll read in Judges, it says, God even put a verse in there that says, even by the hand of one, you'll be victorious. Even by the hand of one. Now, as you read through this, it's phenomenal what God does because he continues to reduce this army of 32,000 down to a couple hundred, 300 guys. And God gives specific instructions. He says, take these 300 guys against this insurmountable number And yeah, the odds are horrible. It's like incredible. It's like 440 to 1. And you're going to be victorious. Now, I don't know about you, but as I surveyed the thing, he even told Gideon, go down there and kind of take a look at these guys. This would have been a fear factor in my life. I don't know that I would have stayed with the job. But how do you know God's greater? Amen. And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we think, cancer? Tumor? I've only been given a few days to live. My relatives are... And we look at all of these things in front of us that are circumstantial. But they're nothing with God. Because God gave the silliest, most ridiculous instructions that He could ever give to make this thing work. He said, take a pitcher, put a candle in it, and get a trumpet, and shout. And I've been going, no, I want a machine gun. I want something that I can relate to. Bring me, the SWAT team. Ill-equipped, cowardly, hiding behind a bush, but you're going to defeat this army, multiple thousands. Let me tell you this morning, you can write this down. You're going to defeat cancer.
Amen.
You're going to defeat arthritis. You're going to defeat that nagging illness that will not remove from your body. You're going to defeat the attitude of the enemy that says your family will never get in church. You're going to defeat that thing that comes at you again and again and again with criticalness and negativity and suppresses you, and because of a relationship that is sour or gone the other way, God's going to bring it back and bless you abundantly, more than what you're going to ask or think. That economic thing, that job that you don't have, you say, Pastor Mark, what are you talking about? I'm speaking faith into your life.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can walk out of here and go, I don't believe it. And the minute that you do, it won't happen. But you can walk out of here and go, by faith, I'm speaking.
Yes.
It wasn't in the notes.
Yes.
It wasn't in the notes. America is in need of a great revival, but if we continue to believe all the bad news that the media keeps feeding us, we're going to walk around speaking it.
Yes.
Economy's bad. The weather's bad. The election, it's already over. It hadn't even started. It's bad. And the words that we speak will probably come to fruition. My cancer won't go away. My family will never be healed. Listen, the Word of God says in Isaiah, by His stripes I am healed.
Yes.
Amen? My family will never be saved. The Bible tells us greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world.
Yes.
Paul says, I am more than a conqueror.
Amen.
The Word of God says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will heal their land.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, but Pastor Mark, you just listed off all the things that are wrong about America. That doesn't mean that they can't be turned the other way.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm not on the losing side.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
If I've learned one thing from my 8-year-old son, and I don't know where he got this from. He didn't get it from me, but he hates to lose. He hates it with a passion. He hates it. And I'm glad that he has that winning mentality. He told me the other day, he said, Dad, when we've been playing checkers and you turned your head, I fudged a little bit and took a couple of your guys off. I said, I wonder what was going on. I did the same thing to you. Hates to lose. Hates to lose. I know that I must move on this morning, but God has developed winners.
Right.
And I guess I'm beginning to get more passionate about this in my soul because I'm hungry for the church to rise up corporately, locally, nationally, and say, enough is enough. We're going to return to the values that we were built on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can go the other way. We can keep falling into this bottomless pit of defeat. Or we can turn things around by the grace of God. That's the only way that's going to happen. Yes, America is in need of revival. We've drifted to sleep and we've lost the center of our moral foundation. Do you know that Gideon was victorious? That they defeated this army. And you know what? God could have done it with one. He could have done it with one. What he was doing was building faith and character in a man. You say today, well, my boss, and well, my job, and well, my health. And you know what you're doing? You're continuing to point your finger at your circumstance. And that can go deeper than that. I just want to quickly, and you can list these out if you like to. I think they're pretty healthy. Repair list, restoration, because I don't want to be just negative. I love Smith Wigglesworth when he woke up in the middle of the night and you know the story. Oh, it's just you, devil. And he went back to sleep. Just a casual. You can give the devil attention or you can ignore him. I love to ignore him. I know a lot of people like to, I rebuke you, Satan, and in the name of Jesus. I just like to go the other way and ignore him. Because whatever I do, I'm not saying rebuking him is bad, but I like to give God more credit. I like to just run the other way and run towards God and just ignore him. Amen? He hates it when you do that. He hates it when you ignore him. We got to stop giving the devil so much credit. Okay, that's enough of the negative. Let's move to the positive. Just a couple of things here. We have to energize people today of values and integrity. Proverbs 27:19. Listen to this. As water reflects the face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Remember the text that we read a while ago in Isaiah chapter number 6? Isaiah saw himself. He didn't like what he saw. Amen? Now, I know you guys get up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, hi, beautiful sunshine. As water reflects the face, so a man's heart reflects the man. A society that has lost its way, has lost its standard, doesn't have anything to fall back on. We have to see ourselves for where we are. Number one, we've got to reestablish people of integrity, and it's okay to demand that. Step two, we've got to bring restoration to families again. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Isn't it a shame today kids don't know who their dad is? Don't even know who their mom is. That's where we are today. But we can restore our families. We have children that are born outside of a loving home environment. We have the effects of torn families and all kinds of negative influences on the family. If we do not have families, we don't have much. Hello? Joshua said, it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to rebuild the family. Restore marriages of purity and fidelity. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Build homes with love and purpose. Amen? You know, I just kind of think it's a good thing to have a home built on one man and one woman. Amen? I don't care how you slice it. Two men, that just don't cut it for me. Three men, one woman, I don't cut it for me. God has a biblical mandate for marriage. Amen? Hallelujah. You say, oh, that's not popular. Well, a lot of what I'm talking about is not popular. Ignite moral courage. Inspire people to live with courage. Mark Twain says these words. It is a curious thing that the physical courage should be so common in the world and moral courage so rare. We clap for people that do things that are filled with bravery, but yet when somebody stands up for something, we're not really sure. Romans 12:21, Paul says these words, overcome evil with good. Amen? Amen? Overcome evil with good. It'll run right over them. The most loving, caring person, the best thing that they can do is to connect somebody and help somebody and to bless somebody. Not to be destructive, not to be hurtful, not to be harmful. We also can reclaim our schools again. Hallelujah. 90% of people believe in God, but we cannot say our Lord's Prayer in a public setting. 90% of people believe in God, but a teacher cannot talk about the Ten Commandments or biblical accounts of creation. Are we a democracy? We have to rebuild the foundation. If we're living in quicksand, we don't have anything to stand on. Amen? The foundation is the Word. The foundation is amazing grace. If there's no basic truth to believe in, what foundation do we have? Hallelujah. How can you trust? How can you fall back on anything that is solid? We also have to allow God to empower us. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Amen? Pastor Mark, I don't know which turn to take. I don't know which road to take. I don't know which direction to go. There is a strong, eternal foundation. His name is Jesus. The grace of a life that is founded on God's Word does not change. But the foundation of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation will replace sinking sand. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, our society is eroding. But I believe that there's a way to come back. There's never been a more serious hour than today. There's never been a more troubled world. There's never been a mudslide like there is today. The troubled world, the moral slide, the countdown has brought inverted values. What is wrong is now right. What is right is now wrong. It's no wonder there's chaos, confusion, corruption, and all kinds of bad decisions and collisions taking place. It's time for a genuine revival like Acts chapter 2, and it must begin in the hearts and the lives of the church.
Right.
Amen? Amen? We have a voice. We have a voice. John the Baptist said, well, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, but that voice was heard.
Yes.
Let me tell you, your voice can resonate. Your voice can be heard.
Yes.
You say, I don't know how to be a witness. When you pull out of that parking lot this morning and you go to Cornerstone Church and you park it here and you go home and you park it there, your neighbors are watching what you're doing.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
I got some neighbors and they're watching a little bit too much of what I'm doing. I saw them kind of peeking out the window the other day, you know, and I'm like, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah, he lived in this time of wayward people. He lived in this time of gloom and doom. And chapter 6, Isaiah saw himself and the question was being asked, well, who will go forward? And this transforming vision as he was sensitive to the things of God. The word says, who will I send? And he said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I just want to take some trophies with me. I want to take some people with me. I don't want to stand up there empty-handed. I want to have people around me that I go to heaven with. Hallelujah. I don't want to come to church by myself. I want to come with others. You know, there's energy in being with other people of precious like faith. Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This morning back in that 9 o'clock class, I was looking forward to it. Brother Mark Sheridan to give me the Word of God, and this guy did, Holy Ghost filled. It lifted me up. It got me ready for this. And this service this morning is getting you ready for the next step when you get up on Monday morning instead of shouting, oh me, praise the Lord, facing the giants of your life. By faith, you're going to be strong. By faith, you're going to overcome. By faith, you're going to walk. By faith, you're going to talk the talk of faith. You're going to speak life into somebody else. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got the Bible. Amen. It's good news. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. How many of you prescribe to the paper? You read the paper daily. You do read the newspaper. I don't. I gave it up a long time ago. I just let go of it. Whenever I had an extra quarter, once in a while I read the headlines, but I gave it up. Because I need to spend more time with good news. I'm not saying don't read the paper. I started to tell everybody that did prescribe. Y'all were too afraid to raise your hands, I could tell, to give it up. But you know what? It is good news. Hallelujah. What did Jesus do when he walked around? He offered good news and hope. He told the demon possessed, I'm going to cast the demon out of you. He told the guy that was paralyzed, rise and walk. He told the man, you know, through Peter and John at the gate, beautiful, silver and gold have none, but such as I have, I give I thee. The Word of God is filled with hope and life and strength. Hallelujah. The old saying used to say, read the book. Read the book. Meditate on the book. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, this is just old-fashioned stuff here this morning. No, it's just simple stuff.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Our nation needs a cure. Our nation needs spiritual medicine. Our nation needs spiritual salve. We need a dose of the anointing of God to break the yoke of some of these strongholds. America, we need a new awareness of the character of God. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I believe in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah got a picture of the character of God. What do you want to fill in there? What is God like? What's He look like? What's He talk like? What does God look like? What does He sound like? Let me tell you, God has some attributes. They're pretty neat. He's all powerful. What does that mean? He's omnipotent. There's nothing He cannot do. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. Ooh, that's scary. He knows your thoughts. Amen? Hallelujah. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Amen? I get up in the morning, He's there. I go to bed at night, He's there. He is eternal. Hallelujah. And Isaiah learned that He is holy. Glory to God. Holy, holy, holy. That describes the complete package of the Trinity. In fact, He told Moses in Exodus 3:5, hey, buddy, take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground. Yeah. Right. Amen? He said to Moses, don't come here. Remove your sandals from your feet. The place in which you're standing is holy ground. You see, today for us in 2012, the cross is the example of God's perfect plan of redemption and holiness. Peter says, be holy, for I am holy. Now, don't ask me to go down that street about what holiness used to be with long sleeves and hemlines at a certain level and beehives up to here and no makeup and scary looking women. That had nothing to do with holiness. It still ain't got nothing to do with holiness. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I know, I ruined a perfectly good message. The holiness is in a heart. And a guy comes in the back door, he hadn't shaven, hadn't eaten, and smells bad, looks bad. You know, we need to love him, accept him, and receive him. Because he has a heart. I'll move on. That's scary ground to go down that road. God hasn't changed. Amen? Revelation 4:8 tells us these words. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within and day and night. They do not cease saying, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is to come. Yes. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. There has to be not only an awareness of the character of God, there has to be a new awakening of our own mind and conscience. Isaiah chapter 6, look at it again, verse 5 and 6. He said, woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm living among people that have unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongues. Isaiah saw himself measured by God's standard. What if Jesus were to walk into this room this morning? What if he were to come to your house? I'll never forget this, Pastor Lay, as long as I live. I went to go see a lady in our church, and she wasn't expecting me. That's the best kind of visit. Amen? And we sat in her living room, and it was just the funniest visit I'd ever had in my life because she was so uneasy about me being there. And I'm just, it don't matter to me. I'm just a person. I can give you stories of other visits that visited one lady one time, and I'm not kidding you. You could not walk in her house. There was clothes all over the living room. There was clothes in the bedroom. She wouldn't even let me come in. I walked in this one lady's house, and it was the funniest thing that had ever happened to me. And I sat in her living room, and before I got there, she'd just been toking on this very, very long cigarette. And her face began to turn colors because she saw that I was at the door. So instead of tossing that cigarette and moving it, she put it in an ashtray behind her, and that smoke was curling out the top of her head. And every time I'd move a little way this way, she'd move a little this way, like I couldn't see it, you know? And that cigarette was, I mean, it was this long. It was going to go a long time. And so the more we visited, the more her skin color changed, and the more she kept, like pushing in front of that cigarette, like I was blind in one eye, couldn't see out the other, like, what, you know? And it was the most funny visit I'd ever had in my life because I was just being myself, you know. And I broke out no. but she felt so odd. And, you know, I had to communicate to her, you know, to this woman. I just love you just like you are. I just love you like you are. I don't really care about that. I just love you like you are. Here's the deal. If we're working on me, everything is going to get better if I'm working on me. I don't have time to work on everybody else. Amen? Well, you know, Bill would quit this, and Joyce would quit this, and boy, if Diane, she just quit calling me, and if she quit this, and Teresa, she just quit sending me this message. We got to work on us. Amen? When you get you right, everything else looks differently. Because what I happen to do is I bypass all of these little things that could get on my very last nerve and love them like they are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you need to walk, and we do walk in love, we accept our differences and our faults. It's the only way to create spiritual unity. Oh, but you don't know my Uncle Bob. No, thank God I don't. And don't bring him over either. Amen? No, I'm joking. Jesus died for everybody. Amen? And if we can't come together in the church, we're not going to be effective on the streets of our city. Amen? Wow. God says, I have a plan. God says, I have a rescue plan for the church. God says, I have a pattern to follow. Isaiah had a confession. He said, Lord, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of... But he acknowledged, and something dynamic happened. It was the message of forgiveness for us. The seraphim flew with a burning coal in his hand, which he'd taken from off the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away. Before God can do something with you spiritually, he's got to internalize and do spiritual surgery on the inside of you. And once you are clean, you can move forward. A new concern for the souls of men. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will go? And the Lord's question, who will I send? Was there a willing heart? Isaiah responded, send me. I will go. I will go. Are we concerned about the lost today? You know, people will pray about anything sometimes except serving. Amen? Anything but serving. I'll volunteer. I'll sign up on Sherry's 18 clipboards this morning. People will pray about anything. Revival produces soul winners, people who care. The Word says, he that winneth souls is wise. Amen? And there's more to it than putting your name on a clipboard. Psalm 42:1, so my soul pants for thee. Psalm 63:1, my soul thirsts for thee. Are you willing to go wherever the Lord leads? Now, God just gave me this just now. It ain't up there. It ain't up there. If you'll volunteer to do something for God. Now, I've never said this before, but I believe it with all of my heart. I wouldn't say it. If you'll volunteer to do something for God, some of the crud and the junk and the internal dirt and filth and some of the things you're holding on to that's just excess baggage, we've all got it, it'll fall off of you. Amen. It'll fall off of you. Let me tell you, the Word of God says these words. It says, don't get weary in well-doing. You work down in that youth department, you get weary in well-doing, get replenished, go to your prayer closet. If you have to take a day off or a week off, get replenished, feed your soul. You work down there and celebrate recovery. You get weary in well-doing and you feel like nobody cares. Take a day off. Take an hour off. Pray about it. Fast about it. And come back in that thing refreshed again. You get weary in well-doing in that class on 9 o'clock in the morning. Get reworked, replenished, and rejuvenated. Yes. So, Pastor Mark, you don't have to go to my job tomorrow. Go home this afternoon. Pray about it. Fast about it. Seek the Lord about it. Get replenished. If you will do that, things will begin to fall off. Yes. I want to go deeper than that. Things that attack your spirit will begin to fall off because you're willing to be used as a vessel. Amen. And those of you here this morning that are weary and well-doing and serving where you serve at, I want to tell you something else. If you'll get replenished, some replenishments will come by your side, to be by your side, to hold your hand, to pray with you. And you won't be doing your ministry by yourself, but teams of people will come alongside you. And until that time, the Holy Spirit will comfort you until that next person comes along. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You say, but you don't work with me on Monday morning. Man, serve him. Bless him. Yes. Write your boss a compliment note. Even though you don't feel it in your heart, it'll come.
Yes.
It'll come. It'll come. Take your wife out to eat. Write her a love note. It'll come. It'll come. I know you guys are looking at me like deer in the headlights. It'll come. It'll come. When we move forward in the things of God, things will begin to happen. Because a spirit will reproduce a spirit. If you have an ugly, negative spirit, you know what you'll create in your children? Same stuff. Amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.